Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Growing up is hard enough, but growing up with a parent in jail or prison brings with it a whole other set of challenges. Children of parents who are incarcerated are more likely to engage in delinquent behavior. They're more likely to suffer academically. And research shows that their physical and mental health is more vulnerable. Mentoring can make a big difference. Coming up, we're going to hear from a local mentor and mentee who had a parent who was incarcerated. We'll also hear from a Columbus group that's facing a tight deadline to raise enough money to give children of incarcerated parents a summer camp experience that also pairs them with long-term mentors. Joining us is Vice President of Programs at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Ohio, Abby Fisher. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And by phone, clinical psychologist at the University of Massachusetts Boston, Stella Kanchewa. Welcome, Stella.
Thank you for having me.
Your research focuses on risk and resiliency in young people with a focus on youth mentoring relationships. How does an incarcerated parent change that already tricky equation?
Well, for several reasons, we know that typically.
I'm sorry, Stella. We're going to have to call you back. We have a really bad connection, so stand by. In the meantime, I want people to give us a call if they have a question or comment about mentoring. Have you had a parent who is incarcerated in prison or jail? Did it make a difference in your life to have an important adult there to pick up that slack? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Again, the number is 614-292-8513, or give us a call or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Abby Fisher, as far as Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Ohio goes, I wondered if you could just give a thumbnail about how that equation has changed over time. We're talking about 25,000 kids in Central Ohio right now. Is that a big increase over past years, or has that kind of been a constant?
So we are a part of a national network. Big Brothers Big Sisters is a national brand. There are over 300 affiliates throughout the country, and we are one of the top 10 largest here in Central Ohio. So it's pretty amazing to know that since we have started in 1933, we have grown and grown and grown, and for the past 10, 15 years have really served a substantial amount of youth right here in Franklin, Union, and Delaware counties. So it's something to be quite proud of. Our volunteers are our greatest asset, so without people like Jackie and other mentors who cannot do the work.
You said it's one of the top 10 in the country. Is that because there's that much demand here?
It's because we serve that many kids. So how they measure the size, the largeness of an agency is based on the number of kids that you serve and the revenue that you have that allows you to then serve those kids. So the demand is there, and we are really privileged to live in a community where we have volunteers mobilized to serve those kids.
And so what about that incarceration piece of the equation? How does that change things from what we think of as maybe a more conventional mentor-mentee relationship?
It's definitely changing it a bit. So there is an estimation of a huge impact of kids who have incarcerated parents throughout the entire state of Ohio. And there's that much more for a volunteer to be equipped with to really serve and connect with that family in regards to the fact that there is toxic stress and trauma and hardships that that family is experiencing. But really, at the end of the day, it's still the fundamentals of making a relationship, building a connection with a child, and being that positive adult role model. So the outings can still be basketball and ice cream and working on homework. But there's just an additional layer where we can really equip and train our volunteers to make sure they feel comfortable and confident having some of those difficult conversations that arise, because you've got that foundation of a relationship, you've got a sense of trust, so that that little or mentee of yours is really going to disclose and look to you for some guidance.
Stella, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with
okay. Stella Kanchewa, thank you for that. So I was asking, you know, what research tells us about how having an incarcerated parent changes the already touchy situation, the already complicated and complex, I suppose is a better way to put it, relationship when it comes to mentoring.
Right. There is, you know, in terms of having an incarcerated parent, that there is a sense of loss there in terms of what we understand, what we know about the importance of relationships in young people's lives. And to have a primary caregiver who in some ways is sort of limited or restricted in their ability to be present for a young person really has a pretty significant effect. And so in terms of the mentoring, some of the pieces that come up, I think I was hearing Abby talk a little bit about pieces around trust and pieces around kind of acknowledging some of that loss, that there is a caregiver who is not present in that little's life, and what are some of the ways that the mentor is able to not necessarily take over for that absent individual, but to kind of be able to supplement and be available for a young person in the absence of that young person's caregiver.
How much does it matter that we're talking about someone who's incarcerated who has been convicted of doing something, of breaking the law? So I, you know, all things being equal, they're there on their own volition. Do they feel threatened by this?
You know, it's interesting. So there are kind of two pieces to that. The first piece that I was kind of hearing is around, you know, what that means for both relationships. And you know, the bottom line is that regardless of what that individual is incarcerated for, that individual is a parent. And, you know, that needs to be acknowledged in the mentoring relationship in some way. And the other piece also is, I think, something that's sort of fairly a bit more recognized now in the field about, in whatever capacity is possible, being able to include that incarcerated parent in the mentoring relationship, that, you know, there's some sort of conversation that's able to happen with that incarcerated parent about, there is a mentor who is going to be in your child's life, and there's a little bit of processing that's able to happen around that, so that it's not a surprise that, you know, there is another non-parental adult who's sort of supporting that individual's child.
Does it matter what the parent is in prison for? You know, I don't know. I mean, Stella?
You know, I think that matters probably more so in terms of access, whether or not, you know, depending on what they're in for, whether or not they're able to have a line of communication. In terms of the mentoring relationship itself, I don't think it necessarily would matter if the focus really is just helping the child to honor and acknowledge that parent in whatever capacity is most appropriate for that child, regardless of sort of what crime the parent has committed.
We know that mentors are trained, and we're going to talk more about what kind of training occurs with Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Ohio and that kind of a thing. But are there qualities in a person that make a good mentor, Stella Conchewa?
In terms of qualities, I think, you know, some of the research it has suggested that folks who have already are coming from sort of some sort of advocacy role, whether it's a role where they were a teacher or, you know, guidance counselor or some other professional role in that capacity, that some of those skills translate really well to a mentoring role. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, you know, more general kind of population, if we're just talking about volunteers, you know, across the board, that it's really important to come into the mentoring relationship with a sense of openness, particularly in terms of expectations, that often the relationships that we see fail are the ones where mentors have very high expectations that are very driven by sort of their own motivations, that, you know, they want to be there for a young person and want to have a lot of disclosure from that young person without necessarily acknowledging that different people, different young people go at their own paces in terms of what they are comfortable sharing, and that the mentoring relationship has its own course, and we need to kind of be respectful of that. So I think that piece is really an important beginning point, that that's a really important quality in terms of being open to the dynamic nature of the relationship when you start off.
I would also imagine that some mentors, would-be mentors and mentors, go into it thinking I'm going to save somebody.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And that idea, I think that sets up a lot of challenges and potentially could set up failure because, you know, there are different ways to support a young person. And if you go in with that very kind of limited expectation, it does create a circumstance where the relationship kind of falters right from the beginning.
How much, again, we're going to get more specific with Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Central Ohio, but in general, how much do mentees have to be prepared for the relationship of mentoring?
In some ways, that's also an area being a bit more acknowledged. There is the piece in terms of training. There is a piece, you know, that's related to preparing the mentee and caregivers in that mentee's life for what mentoring entails. And folks are highlighting that perhaps there needs to be more of that in terms of, you know, preparing the mentee about what is a mentoring relationship and what does it entail and what are some of the potential hopes maybe that the mentee might have about the relationship. That is an important piece also that needs to happen on the front end of things.
Stella Conchewa, I want to thank you for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Anne.
Stella Conchewa is a clinical psychologist at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. Her research has been revolved around the mentoring process. Coming up, we're going to talk more about mentoring, specifically for kids whose parents have at some point in time been incarcerated or maybe are at the present time. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. A positive mentoring experience can have a big effect on the lives of young people, perhaps even more so for children growing up with one or both parents in jail or prison. In Central Ohio, roughly 25,000 children have had a parent in jail or prison at some point in their childhood. Kanisha Dumas was one of those children. Then at 13 years old, she got matched with her mentor, Jackie Woolwine, through Big Brothers, Big Sisters. We're talking about the power of youth mentoring this hour. Still with us is Vice President of Programs at Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Central Ohio, Abby Fisher. Joining us again in the studio is Jackie Woolwine. Welcome to the show, Jackie.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us, Kanisha Dumas. Kanisha is 22 and a senior at the University of Cincinnati. Welcome and congratulations on getting to be a senior.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Kanisha, tell us a little bit about your childhood, and you know what we're talking about today, so how that fits in with the conversation.
Yeah. Well, growing up, I have seven siblings, birth siblings, but all three of us, or seven of us, were split up. Four of us went with my great aunt, and then three of us went with my grandmother. My mother got incarcerated when I was about 11 years old, but she wasn't. She did play a role in my life, but she didn't play the biggest role in my life.
Even before that? Or
she was in the picture, but she wasn't like my primary caregiver.
Yep.
So she was there, but she just wasn't always there. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. You knew her.
Yes.
You had a relationship with her, but it wasn't a really stereotypical mother-daughter relationship.
Exactly.
So you were 11 years old when somebody suggested a mentor. What did you think? I don't need one.
At first, it was a little, because I'm like somewhat of a shy person, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
I was excited, but I was also a little nervous just to see what the mentor and mentee relationship would entail.
At the time, who suggested it to you and why did they think that was a good idea for you?
I call her my mom, but she's my great aunt. I believe that she needed a little help. I don't want to say raising us, but maybe just someone, like a mentor, to show us like different ways of life. And so I believe she was the one who signed us up.
And she was a single parent.
Yes. She raised her kids, and then she raised four of my seven siblings.
Wow. So she was experienced.
Yes. But just, I mean, I don't want to say old. She's mature, but, you know, she's had her time raising kids.
Jackie, you know, what appealed to you about not just mentoring, but mentoring someone with, you know, the equation we've been talking about that, you know, Kanisha had?
I myself grew up in a pretty big family, so kids were something I was pretty good with. And I grew up without my mom in my life. So I was like, okay, well, hey, let's try this Big Brothers Big Sisters thing and see if mentoring is for me. Mm-hmm. And I signed up just thinking, hey, I'll take a kid for ice cream and play games. And I was just pretty open to it. I didn't know it would ever end up to be the relationship that Kanisha and I have. And when it began, when they said, we have a match for you, and they told me her background, that her mom was incarcerated, I was like, okay, I can do that, because I know the feelings that you kind of go through growing up without your mom.
So you kind of had a mom in your life, Kanisha, but then she was incarcerated. And how did that change things for you inside?
No, it did. It definitely did. I think that, especially like as a kid, personally, I just battled with like the fact that like she wasn't in my life, but she was supposed to be. And then when she got incarcerated, it kind of added to those feelings. And when she initially got incarcerated, I did have that relationship. There was like programs that I could go and I could visit her, and that kind of like built up a relationship. But there was reasons why we weren't in her care, or
Before she got incarcerated.
And then during her incarceration, my younger brother passed away. So that also added more feelings of like, I don't want to say hatred, but more just of a conflict between us. But similar to what Jackie said, her mom wasn't in her life. So I was able to talk with Jackie about what I was feeling, and she was able to help me get through those feelings.
Did that help overcome a little bit of your trepidation? Is the fact that Jackie could at least share that? Had that, knew what that was like.
It did, because it gave me someone that I can talk to, but not only someone that I could talk to, but someone who understood how I felt and could validate my feelings.
You know, Abby Fisher, when Big Brothers Big Sisters says we've got a match, what do they mean by that? What goes in front of that?
So there is extensive volunteer training and screening. There is also extensive getting to know families and youth of those that we're going to serve. And we really take that pile of information and a professional assessment to say this is going to be that perfect match relationship. So to call.
Or we hope.
Stars are going to align.
Yeah.
And with our continued support. So when we call a big and we say, here's a little bit about the family, here's what they're going through. Are you comfortable? Do you approve with this presentation that we're kind of providing for you? Same for the families. This is the big. This is what they do. This is where they live. This is where they work. This is what they want to bring to a match relationship.
I love how you call
family.
The mentors the big.
Yes.
You call
mentors,
a big.
Mentors, bigs, mentees, littles. Yeah, absolutely. Very much part of our brand. So there's that initial conversation that happens with the hope. And then there is ongoing support from us. So when they first met, there was a Big Brothers Big Sisters representative there to say,
okay,
hey, I'm here. I'm your coach. I'm going to walk you through this. And then there's individualized conversations that happen as that relationship evolves with Big Brothers Big Sisters to say, Jackie, how's it going? What'd you guys do at your outing? I can't believe she shared that with you. That is so amazing. You guys are obviously building a bond. Talking to great aunt to say, how is Kanisha feeling? What are your reservations? What do you want us to work on? And so we are really a part of that piece every step along the journey.
Kanisha, when it came to your mom, I mean, what did she think about this? I know she wasn't necessarily consulted like your great aunt was, but
I think that she was appreciative that someone was able to step in and take that role and do things like during my senior year or helping me with
in
issues
high school
that I have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, growing up. But I think she was also just a little bit sad, I guess I should say, that she wasn't able to do those things. But I think she was more of appreciative that I did have Jackie to kind of fill those roles when she wasn't there.
Where was the point? Obviously, you're both in here today because you've had a really successful relationship and you continue to have a successful relationship. That's a given. But where was that time? You said you were shy. You had some trepidation, which is all sounds perfectly natural for anybody. Where was that moment when you thought, thank goodness I have Jackie?
Well, we've been together for almost about 10 years. So that for me, it's a long time. I'm sorry.
But that's okay.
Jackie has been there for me, like, through more than I could ever imagine. I feel like I've been there for her, too. But when my younger brother passed away, that night, Jackie called me, and she was there for me anytime that I needed her. She was there for the showing, for the funeral. She just stopped by and saw my family. And when I was, like, busy taking care of my mom and making sure that she was okay, Jackie was there taking care of me. But also not just, like, my brother passing away. Like, Jackie's been through a divorce. We've lost other family members. She got married. So I think when it stopped just becoming us going out for outings and it became actual, like, pivotal moments in my life that she was there for, that if I look back, I'm like, I don't know if I could have made it through without Jackie. That's when I realized that, yes, she is my big sister, but she is more like family to me than anything.
Yeah. Jackie. Wow. I mean, you've been through a lot, too. And Tanisha's there for you, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Kanisha. Sorry.
You're fine.
Sorry.
Well, I will say that she's an amazing young woman. And she was very shy when we first met. And to the point of, I'd say, okay, what do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. And I'd say, okay, so you want to eat a cardboard box? You want to go hang out in a cardboard box? No. So I kind of would sometimes force her into making decisions. And then we started, like, as I would do that, she'd start to open up a little bit. And or I'd give her options and she'd pick. And then as far as the things that she went through in her life, she just needed love. That's all she needed, was somebody just to be there for her. And that's what I had to offer. And then Ida, I think that's our coordinator through Big Brothers Big Sisters. A lot of the pivotal moments of my life, the difficulty of divorce, I thought as a mentor, I needed to be perfect in her eyes, like, because here she is looking up to me. And Big Brothers Big Sister said, no, you don't, Jackie. This is where you teach her how to live life. Please share with her what you're feeling, the heartaches you're going through. And when you bounce back, share that with her too, because that's how she's going to learn to live life. And it's made a tremendous difference. And now I'm married. I have three what I call bonus children. And I think that being a mentor has helped me become an amazing parent also.
We're talking about mentoring, and in particular, mentoring children whose parents have been at some point or still are incarcerated. About 25,000 children in Central Ohio are in that situation. If you have a question or comment about that issue, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. You just heard from Jackie Woolwine. She's a mentor with Big Brothers Big Sisters. And also Kanisha Dumas. She's a mentee, Jackie's mentee, and a student at the University of Cincinnati, a senior. Also with us, Abby Fisher, Vice President of Programs at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Ohio. Chris in Granville, you're on the air. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I'm 58 years old and retired at 55 after being a research scientist for 30 years. But I understand that I'm too old to be a big brother. Is that correct? And if so, what opportunities exist for people 58 or people, you know, 60 years old?
Gosh, I hate to think that you're too old. Abby Fisher? What's the school? What's the score on that?
You are absolutely not too old. You give me a call, sir. we have volunteer mentor bigs that are 75 plus. So depending on the particular affiliate that may be serving youth in the county in which you live or reside, they may have different age ranges. But here serving Franklin, Delaware, and Union County, you can be...
Give us an example. You said people in their 70s are mentors. Is there certain kinds of kids that relate? You know, I mean, again, does that go into the making the right fit process?
That absolutely goes into the right fit. So we talk to families and kids about their preferences, whether that be age range, race, background, religion, and then same with the volunteers. So there is a level of comfort there and, you know, acknowledgement for a youth. If they've got a little bit of an old soul, maybe they would work well with somebody who's 70 plus.
And in Kanisha's case, she already had a really strong female in her life who was older. I'm just wondering, maybe you wanted someone a little more around your mom's age. Was what you were shooting for, or did age not matter for you?
I think that someone a little bit younger would have been a little bit better, just because, like, I love my mom, but I can't talk to her about boy stuff. Or
right.
Just like,
so, you wanted a big sister.
Yeah, and someone a little closer to my age, because they've been through those similar situations at an earlier time, so they could relate more to me and give me better advice.
And I wanted to ask you about what Jackie said about when she was going through her own struggles, and she went to the people that help her be a better mentor, and they said, share that with Kanisha, and show her how you do it right. How did that feel? Did it?
It did. Jackie is absolutely amazing at giving advice, and every little thing that she tells me, I really do hold on to. During that time, she told me, teach people how to treat you, and I use that to this day, even if I'm in a relationship or a friendship or a work relationship, and if I feel like I'm not being treated the way that I should be, then I acknowledge that and I tell them how I feel, but I don't let people mistreat me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Or even in my senior year of college, my senior year of high school going into college, I was still a little shy, and I remember we were at orientation. And Jackie, they asked for a volunteer, and Jackie like this girl right here, she wants to do it. So she like made me go up in front of everyone. But that kind of just showed me that, like, you're in college, break out of your shell. You have to do that to like really get the full college experience. So even when Jackie goes through pivotal times in her life, the advice that she gives me, I really do hold on to.
Yeah, you laugh, Jackie.
She was like, I cannot believe you did that to me.
But it made me make a lot of friends. So
yeah.
And later that year, she said, okay, thank you for volunteering me. I've made a lot of friends. And then the next year, she's in a sorority.
You sprouted your wings. Email from Jenna. And by the way, Chris in Granville, thanks a lot for that call. I appreciate it. And don't forget to give Abby Fisher a call at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Ohio. Email from Jenna. I live in Columbus, and I feel very personally connected to a program that is designed to mentor and support children whose parents are incarcerated. I had one parent that was in and out of jail throughout my life, and I believe if I had access to such a mentorship at the time, it could have made a big difference in my life and coping with those challenges. Is that something that, I mean, you look back and you think, what if not? What if without? And you said Jackie's made all the difference. Yeah. Abby Fisher?
We are so thrilled to see these types of experiences and people saying to give back now on the other end, to say that this program is out here. It is this demographic, this specialized population of youth is untracked, so it's underserved. And so doing this work is really, really important. So people like Jenna growing up can have this opportunity and that positive adult role model to fill in some of that fear, shame, guilt, loss, whatever the struggles may be.
There are programs in prisons, though, now increasingly. I know Marysville's been pretty progressive about getting kids with their parents, having healthy relationships, and creating programs around that, right?
Right, right. And we try to and have been successful in creating those relationships with Ohio DRC to really kind of evolve and make sure that our work can be aligned, better inform us on how to serve these families and the youth as well.
We are going to take a quick break. For now, I need to say goodbye to Kanisha Dumas. You've been great. Thank you so much for your help today.
Thank you.
And also Jackie Woolwine. She's a mentor with Big Brothers Big Sisters and Kanisha's mentor. Jackie, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
And have a great senior. Are you graduating or are you going to be a senior?
One more semester.
Yay.
Almost there. Yeah.
Congratulations and have fun.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to continue our conversation. If you have a question or comment about mentoring, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also check out the Facebook page and post your question or comment there. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about mentoring and mentorship programs this hour. Next Level Trainings is a leadership training organization in Columbus, and it's trying to help. A team in that organization is raising funds for the AMACHI program of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Ohio to give children of incarcerated parents a week-long summer camp experience and to pair them with a long-term mentor. They hope to reach a goal of $110,000. That'll send 43 kids to the camp this summer. The deadline to donate is midnight tonight. For more information, go to the link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Again, they want to raise $110,000 by midnight tonight to send 43 kids. If they can, they'd like to stretch it to $127,500 to send 50 kids to the camp. That would match each kid up with one of the 50 available mentors. For more information, go to the link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Still with us is Vice President of Programs at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Ohio, Abby Fisher. And joining us now is the Public Relations Captain of the Vision and Impact Program at Next Level Trainings, Nick Padilla. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
I wanted to distinguish between short-term and long-term mentorships. What do we mean by that? What do you mean by long-term?
As far as with the kids or with our program, we're learning tools to handle any roadblocks that we come across in life to instantly shift into more of a positive mental frame of mind and to break through those roadblocks.
But what do we mean by long term versus short term? What's the difference? What do we mean, Abby Fisher, by long term?
We are going to be able to see greater impacts, stronger youth outcomes when they have a longer relationship.
So the idea is going into it for years.
Years. Lifelong friendship.
Is it harder to recruit mentors for something like that?
When we train our mentors, we talk about the structure of the program, the expectations. We give a very thorough background about the type of kids that we serve, the toxic stress, the trauma, and the impact on the brain, and the need and the value that mentoring will bring. It's a fairly easy sell for mentors to hear about the situations, meet these kids, and immediately say, I'm in it. I'm here. What are you going to give me? Throw it at me. I'm here.
Nick Padilla, as far as the Vision Impact Program at Next Level Trainings, what are you asking of mentors?
Well, we're asking of everybody. Do you mean for our goal here, or
no? The mentors that participate in the program.
Oh, just to be a positive influence on these children. I mean, it. You know, we actually were lucky enough to go down to the camp on Saturday and spend some time with these kids and actually do some landscaping at the camp and, you know, work side by side with these children. And then we also invited them up to our recognition dinner and let them eat and just enjoy the music. So that was so impactful for us to see these children, how knowing what kind of background they come from and just seeing how they've developed and what beautiful people they are.
Do they all tend to come from the same background? I mean, it probably is pretty diverse, isn't it?
That would probably be a better question for Abby.
Abby,
quite diverse.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we serve kids age 5 to 18, all sorts of racial, ethnic backgrounds, all over Franklin County. So quite diverse.
And how has it worked for this program in Hocking Hills, this camp that you're working on raising money for? You have 50 mentors and 50 and as many at this point as up to 43 mentees. How do they get matched up? Are they already matched up before they go down?
Well, no. So we actually, all 50 of people in our group are not mentors as
okay.
of now. Some of us will. I myself will apply to be a mentor. But we actually, 4 months ago, were complete strangers. And in this journey with Next Level Trainings, Next Level Gives, we chose Big Brothers Big Sisters Aramachi program to support.
Okay.
And so over the last 3 weeks, we've raised $97,000. Our goal is 110, like you had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just choosing to stand for change and to stand for these kids. And we want to support the training and the whole process that Big Brothers Big Sisters is in.
Okay. So this isn't a training camp then. This isn't where mentors go to be trained.
Correct. Well, not specifically for Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Right.
We're doing more of a life training.
Okay. So. All right. And what does it matter, these kinds of programs, Abby Fisher?
The programs of mentoring for kids that are impacted by incarceration?
Well, no. I mean, things like the trip to Hocking Hills for a week.
Oh, that is of such great value. So, first of all, stepping outside of your neighborhood, stepping outside of that 4-block radius where there is comfort and familiarity. And the power of camp is magic in that it really, through kind of a group mentoring component, through the presence of your counselor or your what is kind of a stand-in mentor in our counselors, pulling out that leadership capacity in every single camper, finding out where their success lies, building that self-confidence. You see tremendous social-emotional growth in these kids. Peer relationships, negotiation skills, like I mentioned, leadership, really pulled out in that camp experience. Kids are a little nervous getting on the bus to drive to Hocking Hills, and then they're crying getting on the bus to leave because they are not ready to leave.
How do you pick who gets to go on an event like this?
So there are different abilities to serve target populations. So those that are most vulnerable, whether that be victims of crime, whether that be kids who have incarcerated parents, where we know that there is a strong need for social emotional support and growth. There's a focus of that. There's a focus of sending kids that are current littles in our program. And, you know, so the coordinators on our Big Brothers Big Sisters staff really know those families and kids and can assess and say this would be an ideal opportunity for that youth.
Nick Padilla, how did Next Level Trainings, this leadership training organization in Columbus, decide on this organization to support? Why? What kind of conversations did you have that led to this?
Well, I would give all the credit to our member, Mason Shehop. He actually presented Big Brothers Big Sisters, their Aramachi program to our entire group, along with several other members. Suggested some other organizations. We put it to a vote.
But did you talk about it first?
Absolutely.
What did he say that convinced you and convinced others that you know?
Wow. I mean, he had statistics, facts, just speaking about interrupting that cycle of, these children going from school to prison and how, you know, standing in the possibility of them becoming, you know, positive members of society, contributing, letting them know that they have other possibilities in life and other choices. That was really critical in us choosing this organization, choosing Big Brothers Big Sisters.
So you're about 14,000 short of that 110,000 goal of sending 43 kids for the Hocking Hills camp. If you can shoot for 127.5, you can send 50, and that would be a one-on-one to go with your 50 volunteers.
Yes. Well, we will achieve $110,000, no doubt.
Okay.
We'll take any support we can get, of course, but that is there's no scenario where that will not happen.
Okay. And once again, you can go to a link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. The deadline for that $110,000 is midnight tonight. So help push them over and into that larger number if you can. go to our website at WOSU.org/allsides. If you have a question about mentoring, if you've wondered if you're the right kind of a person, if you have concerns about it, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Are kids of parents who are incarcerated a new factor, Abby Fisher? I mean, Big Brothers and Big Sisters has been around for a long, long time, but particularly in certain places in Columbus, the number of, you know, there's whole neighborhoods that are just growing up without dads and large often growing up without moms, too.
Right. We believe here at Big Brothers, Big Sisters that mentoring is a platform that can be leveraged to serve those who are most vulnerable. And so those that are exposed to trauma and the trauma of having an incarcerated parent, there is such power in bringing that supplemental support of a positive adult role model in. So that's that presence of an absent parent or this, as well as the balance of that toxic stress, that trauma.
Yeah, you talk about toxic stress. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that? What's the difference?
Toxic stress is something that is prolonged, something that is always present, and something that is severe. So there can be moments of, you know, intermediate stress. Maybe you're at work and you get an email from your boss, hey, come see me. You aren't real sure. You get that spike in your heart rate. You get a little warm. Your blood starts pumping. When you've got this prolonged severe stress of waking up hungry, power goes out, having to walk to school in a blizzard in an unsafe neighborhood, teachers are yelling at you because you're tardy, these types of domino effects, and just living in this level of, am I fight or flight all day long, 24/7.
How, Nick Padilla, have you been trained? I mean, what have you learned about how to conduct yourself coming up at this camp in Hocking Hills?
Well, with Next Level Trainings, mm-hmm. We've been given the tools.
Like, what are those tools?
Just how to shift. How to shift pretty much instantaneously from responding versus reacting. Choosing to be more positive. Choosing to keep that possibility, the frame of mind where there's possibilities.
And in your mind, what is the difference between responding and choosing? Responding and reacting.
Reacting is that gut instinct. Somebody may get under your skin, things like that, and you're immediately going to react as far as defensive or an aggressive manner. Responding is, you know, taking into consideration the type of day the person has had, other factors that it's not personal, that maybe they are going through a traumatic experience as well at that time, and it's not directly reflective of you or what you've done for them or done to them.
We were talking earlier about, in particular, with the mentor and mentee that we met earlier, that the mentor had her own experience of growing up without a mother, and so she could relate to her mentee. Is that necessarily the case with this group of mentors or this group of adults who want to help?
I would say, I mean, there's 50 of us, so there are some people that may have been in that situation. I can mm-hmm. only speak on myself. And I've grown up with parents that are still married after 53 years, two beautiful sisters that I'm very close with. But that doesn't change the fact that you can see the impact that this camp has on these kids and really still want to be involved.
You know, what about that, Abby Fisher, as far as when people have had it so good, like Nick Padilla, how can they be, you know, taught or trained to relate to someone who will never have it that good?
So it's all about the human connection that Big Brothers, Big Sisters then provides for volunteers like Nick. So we're almost like a big to the big to say, let me talk to you about the family. Let me talk to you about the impacts of trauma. Let me talk to you about the science of the development of that youth's brain, what you can experience in an outing. Call me if you're experiencing something different. So that support and hand in hand, I'm going to walk along with you on this journey from the very point of just calling us to say you want to be a big to 10 years, 15 years into your match relationship. We're going to be there to build that. It's a lot of balancing value sets. So for a volunteer to come in and recognize where they're coming from, their background, and that they're going to meet someone who's different than that, and being open. I think Stella earlier had mentioned the level of openness.
Yeah.
And also leveling your expectations.
And that's a part of responding versus reacting?
I think so, absolutely.
Leveling expectations. And again, that's also that thing where you can't come in and you're not going to save the world.
Absolutely. So I think media and pop culture, rainbows, butterflies, dangerous right. minds type of model is mm-hmm. very fresh and appealing to folks. So that's one of the first things that we break down to say, here's what it's going to feel like. And then the night you meet your little, we're going to call you like 48 hours later and be like, so what'd you think?
Right.
And creating that honest, safe conversation. So if people are feeling a little bit nervous or a little bit like, this is not what I signed up for, we can be there.
So, and can I?
Sure.
When we first started this 3 weeks ago, it was simply, this is a great goal for a great organization. And let's achieve this. Let's achieve that number. After Saturday, going down to the camp and spending time with these kids and then after, at the recognition dinner, I was standing there watching the kids dance. We had a DJ and they're dancing with members of our group. And Elizabeth Joy came up to me. She's with Big Brothers Big Sisters as well, and said, if you ever question the impact that you have on these children, he said, watch them dance. Or she said, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And she said, these children don't open up as easily as other people. They don't have, they don't easily warm up and trust people. She said, but look at them dance like they don't have a care in the world. She's like, that's what you guys are doing.
It sounds like it's something that's changing you as well.
Absolutely. After that day, it became personal. It became a crusade, a mission. These kids are beautiful and just knowing where they come from, that, you know, it's a different background where I came from. But that doesn't change that I can still have common interests and see the difficult situation that they've been presented and how they've come through as champions and superheroes.
Were you nervous about all of this?
Nervous about?
Just any trepidations about doing this particular service, picking this?
I don't know if nervous is the right word. Obviously, when you declare a goal that large, there's some initial doubt. But that's one of the things about Next Level Trainings is we learn to shift and dream, declare, deliver. And it's just a standing impossibility that we will accomplish this together. It's not just me. There's 49 other individuals along with coaches mm-hmm. that are on this journey and this crusade to make this happen. And then when you meet these kids and have that experience, there's nothing that's going to stop us from achieving this goal for that reason.
When does the camp take place?
All summer, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So this will be for 1 week for – this is a week out
correct,
of – it's already
correct.
An ongoing camp, but this will pay for a week of it for – 43 kids at 110,000 and 50 kids at 127,500.
Correct. And a lot of our campers are lifelong campers. So you're talking about a summer opportunity that they will likely return the following summer and the following summer and the following summer, grow up to become counselors in training and counselor leader themselves. So it's a really great wraparound for these relationships and these kids.
I want to thank you, Abby Fisher, for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Abby Fisher is Vice President of Programs at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Ohio, and also Nick Padilla, thank you as well.
Thank you, Anne. Appreciate it. It's
Nick
been an
Padilla
honor.
Is a Public Relations Captain of the Vision Impact Program at Next Level Trainings. Next Level Trainings is a leadership training organization in Columbus. It's raising money for the AMACHI program of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Ohio to give children of incarcerated parents a week-long summer camp experience and pair them with a long-term mentor. Their goal is $110,000, and the deadline to give is midnight tonight, May 18th. For more information, go to the link at our website at wosu.org/allsides and make that dream come true. Thanks to the All Sides staff, producer Michael DeBonis, assistant producer Shyla Knott, All Sides interns Kelly Rudolph, Kyle McKinnon, Aaron Kinkley, and Owen Doherty, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. And Alan DeCenzo is the composer of our theme music. WOSU News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson, Radio Operations Director Kevin Petrilla, and Senior Broadcast Technician Eric French. Thank you so much for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.